Hey. That was amazing coaching, as always. Genius, amazing, amazing genius. It's lovely to be here. I'm going to read a little bit of lyric sexology, and if there's time, I'll read a little bit of the not-so-new edition of Wanting in Arabic, which was my first book from a really long time ago, but the new edition had some stuff that was new, so read that, maybe. It's really nice to be here. So lyric sexology, it is a series of archives of representations of sexual beyonds and betweens, really inscriptions of what it is to have a sex or what a sex might be, and it's thinking a little bit about how non-binary, genderqueer, transsexual, two-spirit folks might encounter that archive of inscription in different ways, whether it's anthropology or speculative fiction from the 19th, speculative feminist science fiction from the 70s and 80s, or psychoanalysis, or, I don't know, transsexual autobiographies, or queer theory. So I'll jump around a bit. But I'm going to start with the prologue, as I sometimes do. The prologue is written in the voice of... Can people hear me? Yeah. Okay, thanks.
How's that?
That's fantastic.
Okay.
Okay, at the back? Yeah? Thanks. It's in the voice of Tiresias, who is often an off-sited ancestor for contemporary trans and queer people, mainly trans people. And Tiresias might have an issue with that. I didn't mean to become an eye, I didn't mean to be, but I got caught up, predictably, in a subject, history, yours. Or it was a sequence of events, you wanted me to make sense of it all. Or I thought so, or I wanted to think so. History, yours, catapulted me forward. Predictably, I was forwarded to you. Catastrophically, catastrophe gave way, gave me body. So, in time, here we are. What's in time for me? What's to come? No, there are always other ruins. How do you narrate the end? Begin at the end. Everyone died. So. We are galaxial because inhaling the dead. Origin in place of... Tiresias was a boy before he was a man before he was a woman at the pleasure of snakes, of knowledge, of the whims of the gods, male and female. They made him, her, the snakes, the gods. I mean, Zeus, Hera, Jupiter, Juno. I always hated the Roman names, a degradation as well as a popularization, like all of Rome. They made him in knowledge and in the serpent's mating that he saw she to come, a seer then before a seer. Tiresias was my name once upon a time when there was an I with a name. Of course, I saw everything. I still do. That is the most terrible thing beyond the ends of the world. To know, to be pure knowing. Tiresias impersonated. Impersonation doesn't mean what you think. This is the introduction to this book. My introduction. My lyrical sexology. Lyric sexology. That was a chat book. Made by Qingyi Chen. Read Qingyi Chen's poetry. This is one of the things you need to get straight. This is another, you there in your later age, your so-called 21st century. I am not a transsexual, or an intersexual, or a hermaphrodite. Hermaphroditus can write her own damn book. I am not any of those things you have words for now. You don't have words for what I am. What I was this. I was a dude, then I was a chick, then I was a dude again. You didn't think we said dude or chick in what you call Greece, Hellas of the Hellenes, etc. Think again. Here's what you don't have words for. What is a seer? What is beyond knowing? How can I write you now, and now impossibly out of joint with your own knowing? You will read this, knowing you, or what is a sex in time, without time. You do not have a word for snakes or gods or sexes. You only think you do. You do not have a word for the meeting of snake, sex, god in one word's divided knowing, knowing one divided word. 7 years is what I was as beyond. And inside, too. So impersonation doesn't even begin to describe it. Suppose it did. Suppose I began to describe you. So that's the past. One of them. And from there we will go to the late 19th century, early 21st century, no, 20th, sexology, Victoriana, from the adventures of Julian Robinson, or was it Ms. High Heels? Miss High Heels. An episode occurred which is difficult to write, that glad-feet shod in glittering steel, I was, as I confessed, girlish to look at, winged with confusion and pretty heels. Often I lay alone in bed creating pictures of delight, picture fantasies of luxurious gowns, all accoutrement of femininity, the boys, the boys, the boys they torment from dawn to midnight, while Miss H and Miss P twitter, titter. Oh, this solitude demoralizes me. Though I had grown to mistrust Miss H and Miss P, I protested it was not my place or in my nature. I so severely missed their gentle company, their conversation, so very civilized and mature. Being stolen once more into this feminine realm, I was discovered, even as I implored. I felt my chances dim. You've strayed, young sir, and now must woman take the helm. I will lock tight fetters on your gossamer-covered limbs. I trembled a little as I felt Phoebe's eyes devouring my form. The skirt clung so tight and close, but the corset stays. I was enveloped in white lace, pink and satin, blue, bustles, bows. I continued to fondle and pinch her breasts, and so on, until my tears broke out fresh. We had been so close, betrayed in heels, begowned with my manhood, maidenhood, on offer. I was at last 18 and would be owner of this house. What strange paradoxes does life proffer? This is for Charlotte Perkins Gilman, her land, after all. And it's composed primarily of Gilman's text. And I, as I traveled farther and farther, exploring the rich, sweet soul of her, oh, I should say, Gilman, you know Gilman? I see some nods, some Gilman nods. 19th century suffragette, feminist, educator, eugenicist, utopian, racist. And as I traveled further and further, exploring the rich, sweet soul of her, there is no such possible in the world. In the rest of the world, patriotism, red hot, neglects national interests. But there are some things one takes for granted, supposes are mutually understood, and to which both parties may repeatedly refer without ever meaning the same thing. Woman is young, we say, charming. The old girl passes off the stage into private ownership. You see, we were mothers. When the mother of the race is free, we shall have a better world. By the easy right of birth and by the calm, slow, friendly faces of evolution, every step of our advance, a brace upon the race. Have you no kind of life where asexual reproduction is possible? Why, yes, we have some low forms, of course. There is no female mind, a dishonesty, a cold indifference to the suffering of millions. The brain is not an organ of sex. As well speak of a female liver. Children in this country are the one center, the very largely of competitiveness, a chip upon its shoulder. Why this fuss about death? Use your imagination. Try to visualize a world without death. Death is the essential condition of life, not an evil. He is her food supply. They were unconventionally reasonable, these women. Will you excuse us if we admit that we find it hard to believe? This is for Count Sandor Lavey. I don't mind saying that I was not born this way. It was spirit possession, but I invited it. I desired it. And once I had taken the spirit in, I could change my form. I could move among men unnoticed, except as I willed it. I could move among them as one of them, for I was one of them, and more. I must thank my parents for that, if nothing else. If they did not give me a boyhood, how would I have known it was mine to take? Of course, I blamed them for much of my mortal lifetime, forcing me into women's weeds out of convenience and sentiment for that mewling, puking lump. I suspect my ire at women came to me honestly. What does the history book say? In 1900, there were supposedly 6 different women living in Vienna alone, going by the name of the divorced Countess de Vey. For a time, I took an interest in my condition before it became unremarkable. As all things are to the truly immortal, hysteria, pathology, leeches, lesions, they become less interesting over time, trust me. Mesmerism, though, that was of interest, and blood drinking. I wanted to see if the stories were true. It made me ill. I cannot speak for the others who claim its efficacy, but I suspect they are charlatans. Transcending one's sex, however, through imbibing the alembic of the pure other, it is the rapture of the fold, wherein all possibilities are manifest. How many can exist at once is a question, though. So I do not advocate it. I still think of Daniel Paul, that unfortunate. But his biographer's mind, it was truly extraordinary, and when we touched, my flesh became more precisely mine. My skin contracted, and ego, a little more fully. I had to leave because I worried his insight might, in the end, rob me of my vital essence. Women were safer, saner, and my irritation had dissipated by then. So this section is still late 19th century. It's a reworking of texts from the, pardon my German, those of you who speak German, read German, Denke Würden in Nervenkranken, Great Thoughts of a Nerve Patient, The Memoirs of My Nervous Illness by Daniel Paul Schreiber, whose memoir was the basis for Freud's case study of psychosis, which linked paranoia and homosexuality, repressed homosexuality, with a cross-sexed wish. Freud believed that the wish to change sex represented not the healthy form of homosexuality, which was fine and sociable, but a repressed homosexuality, and was the key to understanding psychosis. So there's a history there. Schreiber's book is interesting. Freud did the analysis based on the book. Schrebergarten, words bode ill. Indefinite, an order around one me. They flower so frequently, newly created nerves in pulpation. They have only to stem their attention, energetic correlate of the rays to effect a change in the source of man, as with the effect mentioned in chapter 9. Since my nerves have become fronds to suppress the corresponding, human sexes love corresponding. It would, in any case, be unendurable. With the great shortage of verdure, the if only my with if only withholding, the very exciting cause fecund, forecourts, heaven, asinine. Words do not go away chirping away or judge the cause. What is the cause? The doctor can only speculate, she explained, cultivating my religious beliefs, or my, why my? What is merely contempt of death? The Bible expresses it thusly, to picture all the lower souls wrought of sleep. Ahriman confirms this as well, whither the lower god of the horizon. So, Schreiber had a fantasy that he might become a woman. Schreiber believed that God turned him into a woman. Schreiber eventually, in prison, imprisoned in a sanatorium, petitioned for her release, claiming that she had been transformed into a woman by God. The courts found that while her delusions were indefensible, she did not pose a threat to herself or to others. She was a judge, so she got herself released. In the late 19th century, this was unprecedented. So there's a history there. But Schreiber didn't just think that she was becoming a woman. They have the faculty of transforming themselves into all the things of the created world. Robots are ghosts, Florid collisions between fluctig ingemacht manner and the world yet to be. Our mechanicals were far simpler, animated by a singular vitiating force. Sperm in the throat, an ass. And if I had to fight off that soldier, don't think badly of me. I couldn't resist. I was just a girl and no hypocrite. I didn't think badly of whores. They just were. Filth. And if God made them that way, made them for corruption, then, well, God is God. Except, of course, he isn't. One being both forecourts and head of heaven, Ahriman and Ormuzd and all the others, and myself, just nerves fraying and the echo light leaves. Once was a singular thing, but you cannot hive gardens of one. Or if you can, then weeds. And rot and shit mingled with divine cremation. Euphemistically, Dr. Freud would say, I was dead, and then he read my book. But I still saw him reading. Perched on that rock of ages, at the never-ending end of time, I saw him with his Jewish science and glance of nose and his hidden arrogance, Moses the Egyptian indeed. Meanwhile, the dead in me, like women's trinkets. It bothered me once, but no more. I know now my whole body is filled with nerves of voluptuousness. Born of our strife, soul shudders across time. Blessed substitute for the stars, helpless watch. Little clouds become pink horde and gray multitude. We are a literal profusion. Our view is the mirror's retrospective shudder. Our view is the continually created himself. Ghosts, the name of all our houses. This is an itinerary of Schreber's becoming. A Mongolian prince, outside the derision of bloodlines, a prince, but a Mongol, half man and half beast, one might as well say. A Jewess, I was very beautiful, but again animal, driven by vile wants. Her body could not bear children, but none more womanly than I have ever seen. I was Hyperbolean woman herself, Hyperborean. The perverse Jewish? Jesuit novice of Osseg and his perverse master, the burgomaster of Plateau, striving to keep the peace the day this world stilled. An Alsatian girl struggling to keep her virtue held down by a victorious French officer. Scoundrels, apostles, my clan. The assembled margraves of Tuscany and Tasmania. Corpses all, imprisoned in wandering clocks. And all but Miss Schreber, full with child blessedness. Was I ever in your house, your bloodline? Could I have been one soul of Fleischig? No, in my nervous condition, castration lodged my jailer and savior. Lily L. will be saved by her doctor, Herr Doctor, but not I. So that's perhaps enough of Schreber's becomings. You can see that in the fantasy of changing sex, there is also a eugenic fantasy, a race fantasy, or a series of race fantasies being played out. This is anthropology, anthropologica. How am I for time? Have I been going on for a million years? I kind of have, haven't I? Yeah? All right. One more poem from here, and then I'll cut to one poem from Wanting in Arabic. Berdash, Transnational Geographic Edition. Welcome to the salon of Madame Theresia, occult seeress. In this room, we are in a realm between worlds, parting veils. In this room, Madame Theresia penetrates all possibles and probable worlds, like Schrodinger's kitty, shitting, or maybe not, all over the either-or, neither-noir litter. So anyways, want to know the future? In this set of all imaginaries and pasts and stuff, like happens once upon a time a word for, there were these guys, they called them Indians. And these Indian guys were not always guys, if you know what I mean. Like a little Turkish tramp scamp or an Egyptian catamite. Lady lovers in breeches, a regular Jesse James. They are all catamites, the continent entire. Gender bendy and whooping cough wild, right? Oscar Wilde, meet Jesse. Jesse doesn't box, so you two might get along. So in America, so too in Berdash, down at the gender medicine exchange, like a home on the range. Meanwhile, medicine wheel. Meanwhile, obscene, as in utopically so. Pilgrim's progress and an empty land and cavorting with Satan's witches. All that mess. Don't tell the Hegira. Hegira? Huh. So that's another archive. I think I'll conclude, if you will indulge me, with a little ghazal, because ghazal always makes me feel better. What Daphne wrote Georgia. What a heart is forever at risk. Reborn to you, I know this, and to that condition, consent. In your eyes disclosed a singular deprivation. Your want is turned to passion. It is stealing. And when we turn to boys, rare with thirst and trust, that our becoming might remain ours, you threaten, giddy and rudely, you promise to devour me roughly, to take me wholly inside. Under your mouth and in your hands, I become again, so protean as to survive that, more to grow wild and lovely. Beloved, consider a carefully cultivated flame of how it is that I want with you. How shall we make our way between Jerusalem, Misra, Beirut, before time falls upon time, loose sheaf of translucence? Do not tell me the day is gone and the night is gone. Between them love lies like a kiss and the words cataclysm. You avoid promises, warding curses, bad fortune. Your opacity is an achievement I should marvel at or emulate, so the future might not notice your touches of that light. I do not know how you came to dwell in this, a room as low as my heart to the ground. I do not own this room, or in your dwelling, a body with rumored tears to comfort, to hold. I do not own this tomb, or pretend to. You, do I ask but your consent to be generous with time? How is it in this room, filled with bodies, their skins full up with sand? Forget that. I do not know if you came to bury here, why? Could we not leave the past, the future, now? Thanks very much.